And good morning. This is Dave Debo. For the balance of this hour, we're going to talk about a big event this weekend. In fact, it's something that happened here that has not happened anywhere else in the country. Buffalo unveiled and dedicated an African-American Veterans Monument down on the waterfront in the Naval Park. We have the only one of those in the entire country. And here to talk a little bit about it and recap, I guess, this weekend's dedication ceremony, we have Warren Galloway on the line with us. Warren is chairman of the effort to try and bring the monument here. Warren, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me this morning, Dave.
Describe the monument. If I wasn't there and didn't see it or haven't come across pictures, what does it look like?
The monument looks like one, when you come up, you'll see 12 black columns. Each column represents one of the 12 outstanding wars that this country has been in since its inception, from the Revolutionary War all the way up to the global terrorism, war on terrorism. The artistic designer, Mr. Jonathan Casey, he designed this monument. And to him, he made these columns to represent candles. And the reason why he did that, I guess from what it says, that during wartime, many families put candles in the windows and lit them every night until their family member came home. And even our 12 black columns, at night, their lights come on at the top that light all night long, representing candles. Then you will also, as you walk through there, you will see pavers. Pavers made of brick with, looks like, dog tags inside. Each of the dog tags are for sale, and we roughly sold over 550 pavers that have names of African-American veterans on it, their rank, their service unit, and when they served. And then you will also walk around and you will see tablets that are developed that for each two columns, there were comments about brief history of what African Americans did in that war. Like the first two will be the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, and it goes on. And then also you will see on these pamphlets or columns, you will see a QR code that you can use your smartphone device to basically hit that QR code, and you'll get about 30 seconds of more information that you would read, maybe a little quick video or something. So this monument is not only to honor African-American vets, but it's also to educate the community and everybody on just what type of input and impact that African-Americans had in fighting for this country.
I understand that the columns, too, are spaced such that they are sort of a timeline. The distance between each war corresponds to the amount of time between each war. So the space as you walk around, the space that you're walking in, is the relative peacetime between wars.
Yes.
Wow. Talk about the pavers. These are individual dog tags. And I understand during the ceremony this weekend, it was pretty poignant. People were actually bending down and someone was even kissing one of the stones?
You know, Dave, it really hit me. After we unveiled it, we pulled the big tarp off of it, and families and people were walking around looking at, trying to find their paver that they paid for. And I guess something hit people, that when they actually seen their loved one, their father, uncle, brother, or sister, when they actually seen their name on concrete as a permanent memorial to their family member, a lot of the people reacted that I didn't expect myself. There was tears. There was joy. I mean, a lot of veterans, especially World War II, they never really talked about being in the service. I know my father never really talked about it at all. But to actually see a name of a family member, people were really emotionally affected by it. And I think that there's just, it hit me when I watched people's reaction.
This is the first and only right now, maybe there are others that are planned, but the first African-American Veterans Monument Memorial in the entire nation.
Yeah. Yeah, there are many cities that might have statues of African Americans to honor you in World War One or Vietnam or whatever. But there's no other monument in the country that we research that's a monument that acknowledges African Americans in all 12 conflicts. That's the difference, that this monument is just not for honoring Vietnam African Americans or World War One or Koreans. War veterans. This is people. This monument honors every African American veteran from the Revolutionary War to now.
Why here?
One spot.
Why here? Did just someone here have the idea, and other places didn't?
Yeah, I guess this idea came from the woman civics group, Erie County Chapter of Lynx. In 2014, they basically announced, and they showed, and they put on display at the Franklin Meriwether Library that for a year or so they were doing research, and they developed these columns or paper strolls of all the names of all the African American veterans who died, agingly died, not just died in the war, but just died. And when they basically opened it up to the people to see it, they approached Assemblywoman Peoples trying to find a spot where they could basically store these. And at the same time, the Naval Park told them they didn't have any space. But then Assemblywoman Peoples, commissioned a committee to look at this issue and to help. And then we realized that there's no monument in Buffalo to honor African-American veterans. You know, you go down to the Naval Park now, you'll see a monument honoring Hispanic soldiers, Polish soldiers, Irish soldiers, Afghanistan war veterans, but there was nothing down there. And the committee basically started working, and we decided that we want to build some type of monument. We went down to the Naval Park and got some land initiated. Then we met, you know, for 6 years, and then we came up with we asked for proposals for designs, and we stayed locally, and we had six artists submit designs, and this is the one the committee decided on because it was the one that helped share our story the best.
You mentioned that it took six years. I know there were some delays. I know that you planned on having it a little earlier, but as a result of the delay now, this opening this past weekend occurs in the same year as the Tops shooting. Does that make it in any way more significant? Do you find more people are talking about racial issues because of that?
Yeah.
Is there, I don't want to make a connection if it's not there, but are these two kind of connected if for no other reason than the timeline?
Probably just the timeline, but I think at the same time it helped. Because a lot of what's going on in the community since the Tops massacre is that a lot of us are starting to look at our history. We're starting to look at how we got to where we are. And this monument, we feel, feeds into that mold that, you know, we have a lot of history. We have a lot of stuff that this community and our African Americans and also non-African Americans need to be proud of. And it just fell in line with it. It wasn't planned on it, you know, because our original plan was that hopefully we could have raised the money, you know, 2 years ago or so, but then with COVID delayed everything, you know, and a lot of portions of our funding came from the state. And when Governor Cuomo froze all grants and everything, that just put us way back.
Warren Galloway is here. He's the chairman of the African American Veterans Monument, unveiled this weekend on Buffalo's waterfront. Warren, you and I have talked a little bit about this before, and I know for you, the stories are important. If I go up to the monument, use my device, and click on the QR code, what am I going to learn? What special story is out there that perhaps resonates most for you?
Oh, well, you're going to learn, like, the first person killed in the American Revolutionary War was the African American. You're going to learn that in the War of 1812, a lot of the war was fought in the Great Lakes. You're going to learn that a quarter of the Navy sailors in the Great Lakes Wars were African Americans. You're going to learn that in World War I, the group called the Harlem Hellfighters, that were American soldiers trained in America to fight the Germans, but because of the American segregation policies that black soldiers couldn't fight with white soldiers, they were assigned to the French government, but yet still fought for the same war. You're going to learn that in spite of all the promises that African Americans received, that if you support us, like the Union soldiers in the Civil War or the American or George Washington soldiers in the Revolutionary War, that you would be free. But in spite of all these promises and the racism, that whenever the call of duty or the call for soldiers came out from any war, African Americans responded. So they, on one hand, they fought the enemy of America, but then when they came home, they had to fight the enemy of racism. So many of our soldiers had to fight two wars. Then you're going to hear about a woman's group called the 6888 in World War II, an all-black female battalion of mail handlers who were sent to England to clean up a warehouse that had millions of letters for American soldiers that were just stored in the warehouse, and these soldiers in Europe couldn't get them. But these group of women that they thought would take about a year to resolve the issues, that they cleaned up the old mail system in a few months. You're going to learn, of course, you learn about the Tuskegee Airmen, but you're going to learn about the Red Ball Express, a group of black truck drivers who just rode through the enemy territory in Europe to make sure the supplies got to the necessary soldiers. You're going to learn that in the Korean War, when it started, there was 100,000 African Americans in the military. And when the Korean conflict truce hit, there was over 400,000. So you're going to read a lot of other history that just doesn't, you never heard about, but that blacks had a significant impact into the survival and the well-being. You're going to hear about in the Civil War that the North was losing the war until Lincoln decided to authorize the Northern soldiers to draft and to put African Americans to battle, which helped change the course of the war. So information like that you might not have never read about, but these are true facts.
I've heard of a little bit of it, the 6888, the women's unit.
Yeah.
They just recently had a Buffalo veteran, Indiana Hunt Martin, honored with a post office locally in her name. She was a member of that 6888. The Harlem Hellcats, though, or Hellfighters, is one that I had never heard of before until I started chatting with you. Not only did they have to fight with the French, but they trained in Spartanburg, North Carolina, and were an all-black unit in the Jim Crow South.
Yeah, and that they received more medals from the French government than any other group of military people. But because of the segregation laws, here you are, you're American citizens, Dave. You're fighting the same enemy as the country, the Germans. But because of our segregation laws, you couldn't even fight with your fellow Americans. You had to fight with another foreign country. You know, and you try, now that you look at it, you're saying, was it really that bad? You know, the troops weren't segregated until 1946 when President Truman issued an executive order.
And this is kind of what you meant when you said not only did they have to fight overseas, but they came back and they ended up fighting racism here.
Yes.
Were you a veteran? Did you face some of that?
When I came back from the war, the only backlash I felt, because I was a Vietnam veteran who fought in Vietnam, is that, you know, Vietnam returnees, we were considered murderers because, you know, there's so much anti-public sentiments about the war in Vietnam. And a lot of that negative feeling was put on to the soldiers that when came back, we had nothing to do with nothing. And, like, we didn't get a ticker tape parade when we came back from Nam. So a lot of us African-American soldiers with this monument, this is our version of our ticker tape parade.
You talk about the history and the lessons and the fact that people need to see these lessons. This is one of those, which of your children do you like better sort of questions. Is it important to teach those kind of lessons to Black Americans, especially to youth, so they have role models? Or is it more important for the public at large to realize, hey, these are some untold stories that people don't know?
It's both.
I knew you would say that, but yeah, that's the way I set the question up.
Yeah, no, because you got to understand, even the committee, when we were trying to come up with a design, and then when we started asking our own self questions, do we as a committee, you know, how many in our own community realize that Blacks have participated in every war that this country has been in? And you ask a lot of people, they might even say no, they didn't realize. You know, Revolutionary War, we were slaves, but we were promised that if you support us, you'll be free. It never happened. All this problems. And I think it also educates the community in general that African Americans has been around from the inception of this community, I mean, of this country. And to be treated the way we are is, you know, it's really tough. So that's why we say this is not only to honor African-American vets, but it's also to educate the community.
I've seen a lot of studies, some interviews, some stories from the Associated Press that says the military still has a little bit of a problem with treating whites and blacks the same. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. Our keynote speaker was General Mitko. He's a four-star general from D.C., and one of his tasks is to try to help with the diversity issues with the Army. And, you know, and that's one of the things that the Army realizes, all the military realizes, that there's still a problem of, you know, of interpretation and unequal treatment. You know, for years we had to fight for promotions and opportunities, and yet still, and our keynote speaker for the unveiling was a Black four-star general, and that's big. You know, when you can get a four-star general to come into your area to speak about something, you know, you hit big time.
Warren, I'm going to ask you, I think you're on a cell. If you could just step one step to the left or the right, you're breaking up a little bit. I want you to repeat what you just said about getting a four-star general to come on in.
Yeah, no, we were able to.
Oh, you're much clearer now. Thanks for that.
Okay. We were able to get a four-star general to be our keynote speaker, and at this time, a Black four-star general. And years ago, you would never have even understood the four-star general being representative. And he was very good. He talked about the diversity. I mean, he went through a lot of the same history that I talked about, but he went into detail even when he served in Afghanistan with his troops.
We have about 10 seconds left as we close here. Tell people where exactly this monument is.
Okay, this monument is at the Buffalo Erie County Naval Park, right towards the end where the big flagpole is, the Rotary Club flagpole, right near the Vietnam Memorial.
All right, Warren, that is all we have time for. Thanks so much for joining us. Warren Galloway, Chairman of the African American Veterans Monument Committee. This is Buffalo What's Next on WBFO and WBFO HD1 Buffalo, WOLL Olean, WUBJ Jamestown.